In early 1930s Russia, the kulaks were the enemy of the state. Their crimes: having an extra cow, owning any kind of machine with a motor that helped them work faster, hiring someone to work on the farm, trying to sell any extra grain that they harvested, or not showing enough signs of starvation, because that meant they were hiding food. And what would happen to one of these privileged peasants if they were caught? Well, their homes would be pillaged. Not that it mattered, because they would never live there again. Among the more fortunate rewards for this insubordination was to board a one-way cruise to a labor camp in Siberia. And if those travel plans didn't work out, the consolation prize was a beating, a rape, and a shovel to dig their own grave. The mainstream news continuously abused the kulaks, accusing them of all the country's economic blues. If you listen close, you can still hear the echoes. The crimes of the modern-day kulak: having an extra computer, owning any kind of machine with a motor that helps you get to work faster, hiring someone to work at your company, trying to sell any extra goods that you produce, or not showing enough signs of dependence, because that means you're hiding self-sufficiency. When they come, they'll tell you that they're trying to solve a wealth deficiency, that they're freeing people from poverty, but they've only ever freed people from property. It is not free stuff. It's no stuff. Because anything that you might think is yours is only yours until someone that ranks above you shows up at your door and implores you that it's not. And it doesn't stop with the rich or the middle class or the poor. It doesn't stop with your property or your children or your thoughts, you see. No amount of socialist distancing can hide you from this kind of virus. The welfare of humanity is always the alibi of tyrants. When they come, they'll offer you a Green New Deal. But the old Red Deal had guaranteed government jobs too. They were called gulags. You do not want to start the utopia machine. No regime with collectivist intentions has ever been given an inch and not taken a mile. Because at the heart of every socialist scheme is a communist manifesto. The problem is not the execution. It's the disillusionment of any system that disincentivizes work, cancels charity, annihilates ambition, overthrows ownership, and completely misdiagnoses the human condition. It could never work. It cuts to the very soul of the human plight, because freedom is the first fundamental human right. It's why no one was ever shot trying to get into East Germany or North Korea. But what say ye to the struggle? What about inequality? There's a big difference between humanitarian work and forced work for the good of humanity. One produces good humans, the other reduces humans to goods. We are absolutely answerable to the call of compassion. But forced compassion is not compassion. That's just stealing. And listen, we can agree that capitalism and communism both have extreme greed. But only one has extreme generosity. The other has firing squads. Unless you think you're not one of the bourgeoisie, and the hairs on the back of your head will never be the cross kind, bear in mind that every purge of the bourgeois in history has also included loyal comrades suspected of individual thought and ethnic minorities, and many of the proletariat just because they had some extra bullets. History is littered with those who wished for liberty, and those who took it. When they come, they'll say, trust us, this time it'll be different. But a ruse by any other name would smell just the same. In a free society, we will have to fight inequality. In a society where everyone is forced to be equal, we will have to fight to be free. Which will it be?